The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
It is a great pleasure to welcome back to the Hard Shoulder a dear friend, Senator Mary Louise O'Donnell. And we're not going to talk about blue shirts at all or anything else. We're going to talk about this wonderful book, which I want to recommend to you. It's published by Veritas. It is a coffee table book, I would describe it. It's hardback, it's beautifully bound with a lovely quality cover, Irish Working Lives. Mary Louise O'Donnell joins us. Photography and lovely display of photographs by Eric Luke. Let me explain. Apparently, this originated in a series of radio essays where they took people in their work circumstances and Mary Louise spent some time with this, and therefore each chapter with them, and each chapter then reveals something about them. So therefore, when I go to contents, the birdman, embalmer, thatcher, fly fisherman, gardener, train driver, sewerman, baker, chiropodist, air traffic controller, and so on. So it's little vignettes of all these people, beautifully illustrated with photographs. How did the idea for a book come about, Mary Louise?
Well, I suppose I had been doing a lot of projects and organisations and people through with another radio station. And in fact, with Pat Kenny. It started with Pat Kenny.
On RT.
On RT, and then continued with Sean O'Rourke. But the people who really stood out were the occupations. Like, I met hundreds of farmers. I met people who make things. I met people who care. I met people who, you know, teach, who nurse. I, you know, occupations all over the country. And so I just picked 14 nearly from a bag, and that I thought that were very interesting and committed and qualitative, and people who had worked all their lives either in a service, or their work came from a profundity, a loss, or their work came from some magic, or their work came from something to do with their background, and decided to spend time with them. So they're really encounters. You know, it wasn't just that I was going out and interviewing them about their work and then writing it up. It's that they're all short stories about them and being
about
part...
About their lives,
about
families.
Their lives, and sometimes their lives...
Their locality?
Their locality, their lives, their commitment, their passion, what drives them, what their work gives them, what they give back to it, what it means to them, how they do it. And it doesn't matter, as I say, that it's a service work or that's profound work. For example, Martina Goggin in Galway built the donor garden in a wasteland in Galway because her only child was killed in an accident and she donated all his organs. For example, Margarita Solon built the Macaulay Place in Naas for elders on a creative model of independent living. For example, the embalmer, which we're all terrified of. Mm. What does he do? I called it The Last Look, what he does and how he minds
us.
Well,
what does he do? Because that was the one that fascinated me.
Well, he does a lot. I mean, there is a process called aspiration when one dies. You know, the body decays and it decays very, very quickly. So he preserves the body for that the people could have that last look, that people can have the ritual.
What does it involve?
Well, it involves... Well, you have to read the chapter, but it certainly involves a lot of chemicals and, you know, holding the body, the carcass of the body, you know, disintegrates, as you know, and all kinds of oils and things disintegrate in the body. But he preserves the body and he dignifies it so that people can ritualize, you know, the leave taking, the physical leave taking from the island. But his work, like he was a fascinating human being, because I expected him to be macabre. He's a beautiful young man, you know, and he has embalmed about 17,000 people in his work. He's a senior embalmer, and it was the way he talked about the physicality of our bodies and how what he could tell about our lives from looking at our bodies, be it young or old, and how he dignified
our leave-taking. Did you actually see him working on a body?
Well, I wouldn't talk about that. You have to read the story and where... I'm not going to give away...
No, but I mean, like... No, but hold on a second.
No,
I mean,
because
like,
that's a very private thing.
See, no, but the point I'm trying to get at, I suppose, here
yes.
is when I look at the gardener and the builder and the train driver, it's hardly a page turner. I mean, like, let's be harsh about this.
Well, it depends on what... No,
insofar as we have a rough idea of what train drivers
don't.
And do...
No, but I'll tell you, if you look at the gardener, that is the woman who built the donor garden out of a wasteland. If you look at the builder,
well, look at the postman. We know what postmen
do. Well, no, you may
they
know
knock
what he
on
does.
The door. They stick in
no,
your
they
mail.
Don't. If you look at the postman, actually lives in Wicklow, and he. It does miles and miles and miles through the country lanes, up mountains, down dales, across hedges.
We know this.
But the commitment to that at 5:30 every single morning, where he got that commitment, his pride in his work through all of the seasons, the people, the privacy of their lives, what he knows, how he helps.
Is there any negativity in that? It's a bit too wholesome for someone
not.
Like me who's a cynic.
Well, I suppose. No, wholesome is the wrong word. It is very
what
real.
I want to hear is they're lying on the shovel and they skive off early and they're
no, they don't
the
do that. A man who worked down the sewers for 40 years in this country and how he developed, how his knowledge of the sewers is enormous. And we never hear about these people. And they are extraordinary qualitative lives. Be they service lives or be they lives that have, be they work
what does the sewer man do?
Well, the sewer
I
man,
thought you got Dynarod and they just came
well,
along
well,
or something and stuck
well,
some cane.
40 years ago,
or they get a power hose or something.
40 years ago, you were the Dynarod. I mean, there was human Dynarods. Yeah, well, with human Dynarods, it's all very different now because it's all very processed. But I lived for three or four days with the Carmelites. I mean, they have a completely different view of how they live their lives. And it is as...
Are they the ones that don't speak?
No. Yes, they don't. Well, they don't attend the world the way we do. They don't roar and shout.
Tell me about do they speak?
Yes, they do, but not really. Just if they need something, they pray.
Do they talk to you?
They did speak to me. They spoke to me about their lives and
they
about
probably didn't get a word in edgeways.
Well, they spoke to me about my cynicism and about my sense of judgment and about my sense
good.
Of competition.
And
they
did
spoke
they
to
recommend
me about
confession
peace
and
silence? No, they have a different way of looking at the world, and it's a fantastic way. I mean, I actually came away from there a very somewhat different person, if only for a time, because they don't minimise how you look at the world. You look at the world one way here. They look at the world a very different way. And we have no right to minimise the journey of somebody else and their journey, the energy of prayer. And I believe in prayer. I think prayer is very valid in however
yes,
you do
I
it.
Won't, because Veritas, who are the publishers, yeah. they're kind of, it speaks to spiritual.
Yes,
like,
it does.
So is this a spiritual book?
Well, the people I met never mentioned the word religion, but every one of them were extremely what you'd call sacred. They had a sense of the other in them. They never mentioned religion, neither did Veritas. But the word Veritas means truth. And what I was looking for when I actually went on the journey with all these 14 occupations was to find a truth in them and a truth in myself and to tell the truth about
them. So it's
them.
All about yourself, really, is it?
No, it's not. But I'm hoping, I hope I did them justice in that people would walk away when you read it and think, I'd like to meet that person. That person has done something qualitative
and
good
and
in
this,
Ireland.
Would it be a common factor that, like, the reason I work and the reason why I'm working now, you know, with a sore throat, is that if I don't turn up, I don't get paid. Like, it's a very simple transaction here. I get paid. I do it for the money. My art of broadcasting my arse. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not like you. I don't have a vocational element to it. How many of these people actually are in it for the money? Like, were you so naive that you believed they all did everything for the love of it?
Well, do you think the birdman who works for Birdwatch Ireland and spends hours and hours and days trying to teach us about how to preserve the swifts, how to look at the common birds, do you think that he's in it for money? I know he's not. Or the Thatcher who's trying to put a roof over people's heads. Or the train driver who goes up and down. Actually, that's a poetic chapter because
poetic.
I was in the the train to
it's
Wexford.
Not Vincent Brown you're with
no,
now.
To Wexford.
That might wash with Vincent.
No, but it was in the train to Wexford, and it's one of the most scenic lines from Dublin. And in the front of
the
cab,
I know the train very
it
well.
Is a beautiful right up through Rathdrum, up into the Wicklow Hills,
and
down.
And the highest station and viaducts, in Ireland.
He's not doing it for money. The Carmelites are not doing it for money. The weatherman, who's one of the 32 weathermen around Ireland who...
Hold on a second. New statistics came out this week that there's something like 2.4 million people at work. Do you think they're all like in this book?
I think there's a
representative. Maybe this is more of your elitist art as opposed to down and dirty with the ordinary
people. So a sewerman is elitist
people.
Art and a postman is elitist art and the air traffic controller, the wonderful Lillian Casson, keeping keeping hundreds of planes in the air as they cross our island every day and safe. It's not about that. It's about that sometimes we forget that some people go to work like you do every, and they give a service. And what I learned from one of them was it's only in It's only in the service of others that you'll find something right in yourself. Anything I've ever done for myself, it's kind of angered me. Anything I've done for other people kind of gave me back something.
And do tell me this, I noticed one thing, because I would consider you a kind of educator, a lecturer, a third level, you know, that you didn't do anything on education. Why?
Well,
because you think that's where people would look for vocation, inspiration to the next generation.
Yes, but
does it not show what a cynical crowd the teachers are that you couldn't find one to put in the book?
No, but all of these people, Birdman, embalmer, Thatcher, builder, fisherman, gardener, train driver, sewerman, baker, weatherman, chiropodist, Carmelite, air traffic controller and postman have vocations. They might not be as defined
Eric
in the manner.
Eric Luke is a great guy. He takes great photographs.
In which you would define them. Eric Luke came with me and he captured with his camera, not only gestured, but he captured with his camera the people.
How much
in the best way? It's 25 euros.
25 euros.
It's a wonderful book. And it'd be a and it'd be a wonderful present.
It would bring alive for any relative.
Nana? Yes, for your aunt, uncle, for a young person, for people who are interested in work, in the work ethic.
You know what I'm going to tell you? The diaspora. If you've got someone abroad, but 25 yo-yos, you're having a laugh. It'll be in the book bins in the charity shop.
Because it's ageless and timeless, and it's caught people at a moment in their lives and held on to them. And he's done the same with his camera. And he's an award-winning photographer, and I was very pleased to have him with me.
I want to recommend the book. It's called Irish Working Lives, Mary Louise O'Donnell, photography from Eric Luke. Thank you for being our guest, and we wish you with many more successes in the publishing as author, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on the book. Up next, we'll have the business news.